Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts. Hello, and welcome to Episode 5, Season 2 of the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. I am Lisa Rhodes. In this episode, Rachel and fellow DLCs Tracy Jansen and Julie Spang talk about Seesaw, and Anne will spotlight Google Jamboard, a collaborative digital whiteboard. And now for an announcement. We have wonderful news. For the remainder of the school year, all staff have access to the premium version of the Pear Deck add-on. You can now record or upload audio files to your lessons, making giving instructions and answers easier for all learners, especially learners whose native language is not English. The template gallery is fantastic. Use the Flashcard Factory to learn vocabulary. And now, added to the question gallery, you can ask your students questions using draggable icons, as well as have them draw an answer. There is a nice How It Works tutorial embedded in the control bar. And as always, if you have any questions or would like more information, contact your building DLC.
Hello, everybody. This week, I am here with Tracy Jansen and Julie Spang, two of our DLCs from the elementary level, and they're here today to talk to us about Seesaw. So welcome, ladies. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel. Hi.
And so for those that don't know you, and we haven't done a podcast in a while with two other people, so it's usually just two of us, and now it's three. So why don't you introduce yourselves so that people hear your voice and can match it as they listen to you guys talk throughout. So Tracy, where are you working and what are you doing? Tell us about you.
Sure. So my name is Tracy Jansen, and I'm working between the Bridge School and the Harrington Elementary School, and I'm working as a digital learning coach there. I guess I've been in the district now. This might be my fourth school year.
Awesome. And how about you, Julie?
I'm a DLC at Fisk and Estabrook and Lexington Children's Place.
Awesome. And last year, we interviewed you sort of at the beginning of the year, Julie, from a new teacher and DLC perspective, because last year you had finished your first full year. So this must be your third year in Lexington, is it?
It sure is.
Wow. Well, great. So you guys are both working at the elementary level, and we wanted to sort of focus in and give an update on Seesaw as teachers are getting to know it and use it through their classrooms, and also just help everybody in the district and our parents understand what Seesaw is. So can you give us a little of an overview of what Seesaw is and maybe why people are using it instead of Google Classroom at certain levels? So in case we have teachers listening who aren't familiar with Seesaw, before we sort of get into tips and tricks and really cool ways to use it, can you guys give us a simple overview of sort of what Seesaw is, who's using it, that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, simple, Seesaw is like a simple digital portfolio where teachers and students record and share what's happening in their classroom. It gives students a place to document their learning, to be creative, and to learn how to use technology. And every student gets their own journal, and they can add things to it, like photos and videos and audio and drawings or notes. And all those tools are built into Seesaw, as opposed to having to learn separate tools in a different environment and pull them in like you have to do with Google Classroom.
So it's like a one-stop shop compared to Google Classroom that might send you to different applications. It's a bit more seamless for younger kids, right?
Totally. And I think that's really what led to Lexington deciding to make that the required LMS for students during this unique year for grades K through 2.
I agree. Tracy, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, just that we were using Seesaw. You know, we've been using it for a long time. And then in the spring, when there became this opportunity to use it, like at its fullest, we really jumped on to see like what the interest was, like the level of interest from teachers. So I think that's when we made the decision to really invest in like the premium platform, which we have now. So we're so excited to have, you know, a fully featured Seesaw starting for us in the fall.
I agree. So help us understand, help me understand, and our listeners, sort of what can Seesaw do that you like can't do without technology? So I understand, and you sort of got at this a little bit with like the funniness that is this year and how a digital portfolio tool is helpful. But I think there are some things that you kind of can't even do without Seesaw, and Seesaw has added this new experience, which has been really good.
Well, it's true that teachers create and manage classes. And it really creates this, you know, this digital classroom that that becomes really the workflow between teachers and students. And, you know, whether that's in a, you know, a hybrid format this year or a fully remote situation, it can really work in both of those environments. And I really appreciate that when we're using Seesaw, we're teaching students the etiquette of social networking.
You know,
we're really like looking ahead to, you know, the kinds of things they'll be doing in their future with this digital platform and this digital workflow. And there are all of these built-in digital citizenship opportunities. So, you know, with Seesaw, this new like digital platform offer these opportunities to teach kids about social networking and this and digital citizenship
in a really like structured and safe way.
It's true. Yeah. And you know, part of digital citizenship is certainly like being safe and keeping your information private. Part of digital citizenship is also like being creative and taking responsibility to make change. So I think Seesaw lets us do that.
That's great.
And then, you know, teachers can go beyond just pen and paper. You know, they can find ready-made activities that other educators have created for themselves or create their own. And a lot of these are manipulatives that allow students to drag and drop and move information around to make sense. And there are so many tools built into Seesaw so that students only need to go to one place to complete their work, like we mentioned earlier. And teachers can also use a lot of different strategies for instructing students on how to do these activities. They can go beyond just typing. They can use audio and video as well to show students how to do the work.
So I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit to talk a little bit about differentiation and accommodation, because you guys are sort of, you know, hinting at that now. And I find, both as the assistive technology specialist for our district and the parent of a remote kindergartner, that's something that I really love about Seesaw, is that teachers can make accommodations within the app pretty easily. And so some of the things you just mentioned, Julie, were like voice recording, taking pictures, drawing, typing. You have lots of different ways to sort of do things, which I think is really great. But are there other things about differentiation and accommodation?
I just feel like Seesaw offers students just so many choices.
I agree.
And they can draw on their own strengths. So if they're really more comfortable expressing themselves using audio versus typing, they can do that.
I think it's also like for individual kids to make choices that match them is really nice too. So Tracy, did you have something to add there?
Just that the platform is really set up for this in a way that teachers can share assignments with individual students or small groups of students or entire classes. So, you know, another way to put out assignments to individuals, you know, it's built right into the platform, as is all of these other tools like you know, audio and video.
Mm-hmm. And sort of getting at what you said before about like it's a one-stop shop for everything. And so if a kid needs, say, a different kind of graphic organizer or visual support for something, it's right there in Seesaw along with all their other stuff. So it makes the executive functioning and organizational part of this year, which could be daunting at points for all of us, I think, a little bit simpler, because we know we always go to Seesaw and our stuff's there. And so that's really great too, I agree. So I would love to hear, and I think, you know, if you're a teacher who's using Seesaw, you're probably already using it this year. It's almost December. But I think there are some teachers doing really interesting things with Seesaw, and maybe some tips and tricks you guys have about how to make things easier. So maybe we can get into sort of the meat of what are some cool things that you guys are seeing across district, or what are some tips and tricks that can save our teachers some time? I'd love to hear.
Sure. I worked with one teacher earlier this year, Heather Gordon, in the second grade at Estes. Yeah. She's so creative. And she had decided early on to rename all of her students and just place an A or a B in front of their names. And it sounds so simple, but that made the two different cohorts.
Reorganize them, huh?
Yes, it made it so much easier to assign activities to students when, you know, at the appropriate time. A lot of people have been taking advantage of the fact that you can schedule assignments. So again, with the hybrid model, you've got some students doing one activity in week one and the same activity for the other cohort in week two. So you can schedule those all at the same time, which makes life a little bit more organized and easier. And they've been sharing activities using the premium feature of having a school and district account, where you know one teacher takes the time to create an activity, and you know we're all teaching the same thing, so
right.
You can avoid reinventing the wheel by looking at what a teacher has already created.
So not to get stuck in the weeds on this example, but if you want to look at what another teacher did, can you just see it as a teacher in our district, or do they share it with you, or like what's the first step in that?
Yeah, you would go into the activity area, the activity library.
Okay.
And in the free version, you just have an area for your library and a community.
Okay.
And in the community are activities created by CSAR ambassadors. But now we've got a special additional location that teachers
just for us.
Yes, that teachers can create an activity and say, I want to share it out in the school and district library.
Right. And so it's also something teachers pick to do. So teachers don't need to get nervous that like all their stuff is there for everyone
That's
to see.
Right.
But
That's
they pick if they're working on something with their grade level or that they think a teacher at another school at their grade level might like, they can pick to share it out to the district. That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah. Tracy, you have any more?
You're talking about sharing activities, and something just came up in that we're doing some of the curriculum planning to include CSAW activities.
Great.
So I know that there was a first grade science lesson that is built right into the curriculum. You know, it's right in those at-a-glance documents from our department that will link straight to a CSAW activity that's for our whole community. So, you know, we're really using this as part of our curriculum planning. I really like about CSAW that a post can be taken outside of CSAW. So I've seen teachers turn a post into a QR code that is, you know, printable or available to put out to people, so that when you scan the QR code, you have access to this post without having to sign in. So sharing CSAW posts is pretty easy to do with the outside community as well.
Oh, I totally agree. And actually, that makes me think of another example. Kara Johnson had decided that her students had all created videos of reading a book, and she really was excited about that. But there's a way you can download video from CSAW. She's going to be doing that and collecting them all into a video so that the students can see each other's book. I thought that was awesome. And Jen Sheeran, who works at Hastings, I believe, she has come across a gentleman named Chris. I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name right. Szanjner. He is an amazing educator. We're going to put some links to his work in the show notes. And he has come up with some really creative ways of creating activities for younger students where you can kind of scratch and read, or you can create a multi-page activity and put audio on each page to kind of break down the instructions for your younger students. And I reached out to some teachers asking for ideas, and Jen Sheeran had pointed out all those amazing examples from Chris.
Yeah, and I think something that's really nice about CSAW is, like, we talked about all the different ways that students can demonstrate their knowledge. There's also, like you just said, different ways that teachers can deliver information and instruction with videos, audio, pictures, links. And what I think is also really nice, back to my hat as like kindergarten mom, is that it does interface nicely with off-screen activities. So the kids can take a picture of this thing they did off screen and send it to their teacher. So it does help teachers, I think, blend, you know, all the different things they want to do in their classroom, reach all the kids, whether they're hybrid or remote or in school that week or not, and be just like I keep saying, the one place we keep coming back to, which I think is just so important this year. So like Julie said, there are a lot of, I don't want to call them training videos, but like how-to videos. Training makes it sound harder than it is. How-to videos and like tips and tricks that we're going to share out in the show notes for some of the things that that we mentioned today. But as we are almost out of time, I would like to just wrap by hearing a little bit about what kids and families are saying and how it's working for people on the other end of things.
Our students feel a sense of creativity with Seesaw and with the familiar creation tools built right into the program, like drawing and video. And our kids really love to do that kind of work. Parents, of course, are, you know, really appreciate this secure platform where they can see, you know, just their child's posts and also teacher messages, and it gives them a glimpse of classroom activities and offers this communication platform. So we have positive feedback all around.
Yeah. And I think just to build on that, that my daughter at home, I watch her because I struggle so much in school with kids who are like font, sizing, color, and how that can sort of take away from the activity they're supposed to be working on. And my daughter in Seesaw, because she's just learning how to use it, spends just, you know, a quick, you know, 15 seconds picking the like sparkle purple that she wants and then making it her own and having the creativity, but not being distracted by it and really being able to demonstrate what she knows in a way that's engaging to her. So I really like that too. So sorry, I didn't want to interrupt Julie, but.
Oh no, that's a great, great comment. But what, kind of an unexpected bonus is we decided to make teachers co-teach into one Seesaw classroom so that specialists are all participating in a Seesaw classroom of the homeroom teacher. And I've got some feedback from teachers saying that they really enjoy seeing the kind of work that the kids are doing in the specialist classrooms, kind of raising their awareness of what's happening outside of the classroom.
Yeah, I like that, because then they can say, remember this thing that you're doing in art, if you want to use those techniques or those materials when you do this project. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that was a kind of an interesting feedback that I got from some teachers.
Yeah, and more ways to communicate and collaborate in the strange year that is this year, I think is helpful for everyone. So I love that like silver lining and nice benefit of using this tool. So awesome. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up? This was really great.
I'm excited that the use of Seesaw has just exploded this year. And it's a shame that we had to kind of go into it under a stressful scenario, but I think this is the tool that we're going to be using going forward when we go back to some sense of normalcy, you know?
I completely agree that a lot of the things we talked about today and that people are doing in the classroom right now are happening because of the way this year is shaping up, but they are useful tools and strategies that we're going to continue to see and use in the years to come. So I love that.
For sure.
All right. Tracy, do you want to add anything?
Just as always, your digital learning coaches are here to help. And, you know, we can offer some even more specific or, you know, really tailor things to your teaching style and your class. So call on us.
Yeah, that's definitely the, if you heard something today or you're interested, like you're just getting your feet on the ground because you're new in Lexington this year and you're ready to look at some different ways to use this. Or you heard examples that you're not quite sure how to do, reach out to Tracy and Julie if you're at their schools, and Lisa if you're at her school. And these folks are always here to help and with implementation. So, all right. Thank you, ladies. This was awesome.
Thanks for having us.
All right. It's a wrap. Thank you, ladies.
Hi, it's Anne here. And today I'm going to talk about Jamboard. Jamboard is Google's collaborative whiteboard. On this board, you can change the background of your Jam, add graph paper or a photo, and then add notes, which look like post-its that you can color, size, and rotate. All collaborators have equal access to the Jam, and though there is no history on it, it's a great way to brainstorm, add drawings, photographs, and more. You can add multiple pages to your Jam and easily work with others. To start a Jamboard, you can either go to your Rubik's Cube and click Jamboard, or type jamboard.google.com. For more information or a tutorial, please reach out to your building digital learning coach.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at LexTechIn10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.